أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for this year of the month of Ramadan. Today being the third day of this blessed month, as we have been engaging in praying, in fasting, in supplications, in doing whatever it is that we can do to get closer to our Creator, to attain that level of spiritual proximity. We continue also in our review of the verses of the Quran, under the theme of management and leadership principles from the Noble Quran. And today we want to look at the topic of knowledge, of ability, of transparency within a leader. Now before we go to the verse and its Arabic and the translation, as a brief preamble, let us offer this thought that we can reflect upon before we go into looking at the verse, which is that when it comes to leadership, when it comes to management, an individual needs to have certain traits, certain qualities, certain qualifications to enable them to be in that position. Again, as we've spoken about in the past, leadership in Islam is not a position that can be gained through nepotism, through family contacts. It is something which needs to be earned. It is something which people have to realize cannot just be handed over to them on a silver platter through a mere election or a selection process. This is something which needs to be earned, as we said, and is something which only very few individuals perhaps have the ability to actually bear and to sustain at the level where it should be. With that said, let us review the verse for today and go through the history of how it came down to the Prophet, what was the circumstances or the meaning of the verse, and then delve into some of the learnings that we can take from it in terms of management and leadership within our day-to-day life. Allah says the following in this beautiful verse of the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah.
قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ
He, their Prophet of God, replied, Surely Allah has chosen him above you, and he has given him a vast deal of knowledge and of bodily strength. Now, for the history of the revelation of this, again, to be very brief and concise, this verse goes back to the time of the prophets of the tribes of Israel, the Banu Israel. And as you know, if you've read the Quran in great detail, especially chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, you'll see that the tribes of Israel were given hundreds, if not thousands, of prophets, of men of God to guide them, to keep them on the path. You know, Moses is just one of those prophets. Obviously, it began with Prophet Ya'qub, Prophet Jacob, his 12 sons, which make up the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, and all of their offspring who eventually were led by Prophet Moses from Egypt into the land which they had settled in after going over that difficult time and the tribulations and challenges of living under the Pharaonic regime. Eventually, as this verse tells us, that one of their prophets of God told them that there was a war that they had to fight, and that this prophet of God, he himself was going to appoint an individual who is known as Talut in the Quran to be the head of this army. Now, when the commoners amongst the tribes of Israel, the followers, heard that this individual was going to be nominated to be the commander in chief, the general of the military, they were shocked and stunned. And they actually replied to this prophet of God, as the Quran quotes, that, and I'm paraphrasing the verse, that how can you appoint such an individual to lead us where he has no societal status? He's a nobody. He doesn't have wealth. He's not a rich, elite, powerful, aristocrat of our society. And the prophet of God was very quick to reply and to show us that these are not qualities of leadership. When it comes to, for example, general elections within our community for an executive position, it's very rarely about if the man who is running has the religious qualifications to run a community, a religious community. It has very little, if not anything to do, if nothing to do with a woman and her, for example, donning the hijab and maintaining a modest lifestyle in private is her own business, but in public, in social media. Many times within our communities, we see that the worst of the worst become the political leaders. Those who openly violate the laws of God are elected to the positions of an executive committee. Here, the Prophet of God is showing us that the two qualities which are required, the two pinnacle qualities, are ilm, knowledge, and obviously physical power to in order to be able to implement the rule of God. What do we learn from this? We see that as a moral lesson outside of what we want to go into in terms of leadership, is that our communities, our societies need to be based on leaders who are God conscious, who know Islam, who know the rulings, who follow the rulings, not just knowing them, but actually implementing them on a daily basis. They can't be people who openly commit sins, who post their escapades on Facebook, who tweet about, you know, what they do in gatherings and parties and on beaches and what have you. This is very important for us if we want to move forward as a religious community, to take this sort of guidance and inspiration from the Quran, where God shows us the qualities of a successful community. But what can we learn in terms of leadership and management principles from this story of Talut and the tribes of Israel and their followers? There are a few points which we wish to extract from this verse for today. Point number one is that when it comes to good leadership, good managerial qualities, the two most important traits which an individual, man or woman, can have, one is knowledge. First and foremost, it has to be sound Islamic knowledge especially. And number two is the strength, the ability to be able to implement these rulings, the teachings of God, within that particular process or within that particular system. Right? Obviously, when you look at the secular world, maybe we might say, or people may think, well, it's not important to have religious knowledge if you're guiding a company of, you know, accountants or a tech firm. And we would actually, you know, reject that and say, no, even there, religion is important, because if you have religious knowledge, you will base your administration on fairness, of justice. You won't be treating your employees in a negative way. You would be giving everybody their right, and so on and so forth. And so even within the secular world, an individual who has religion behind them will be in a better position, we can say, to implement fairness and justice within the workplace, to make sure that women are not, for example, put in compromising situations, that they're not in any way molested or sexually assaulted, as we see happening in the world today. All of these things could be alleviated, could be resolved, had people had a sound religion to follow that maintained the limits between the genders, and that ensured that at work it was only a work discussion that was happening, and that people would not, for example, use their power, their status, their wealth to influence and to try and intimidate people, especially of the opposite gender. Point number two, which we learn, and this is because of the fact that God has structured the verse such where he speaks about knowledge first and then physical strength, is the point that knowledge is the most important criteria in management and leadership principles. Again, God speaks about knowledge and then strength. You need to be a powerful, dedicated individual to implement the rules of a company or an organization. You have to have the driving force to be able to effect change. But knowledge is more important, because if you don't know right from wrong, especially at the moral level of the moral compass of Islam, then you may have the power and ability to bring about change, but it won't be based on sound Islamic teachings. It won't be based on morality, on grounds of morality. It'll be based on whatever it is that you want to put into place. So knowledge is the key of everything in within the religious world and also within the secular world. The last point, and we conclude with this, is that it's not only enough to have knowledge and strength, but just like when the tribes of Israel were asking their prophet, well, you know, we want a certain person to be in charge and you've put somebody else in. The prophet of God went to explain why he put that person into power, because he had knowledge, because he had the strength to do the job. The point we can derive from this, and we conclude with this for this third day of the month of Ramadan, is that sometimes we have to explain these things to our employees, to those subordinates that are underneath us, that yes, we have a policy that came from corporate, from head office, this is what we have to do. But sometimes it's better if we explain it, not just email a bulletin that from now on, this is how things will be done, or this is what we are looking to achieve. No, sometimes, as we see in this verse, it becomes important to explain to the people, right, why certain things are being done, why changes are being implemented, why we have to, you know, do things in a certain way. It's not that we just say, do as I do and don't question me. No, sometimes we have to give an explanation to people if we wish them to come fully on board and to actually subscribe and to push forth that agenda which is coming from a higher authority. In this case of the verse of the Quran, it was an authority being Allah, being God through the Prophet to the masses. But in our case, it's, you know, it's a CEO or the CFO or somebody's making a decision and it comes down to the employees to implement, and we have to let them know why certain changes have to be made. As we close, we ask God to give us the ability to continue to fast, to pray, to read the Quran, and to get closer to His book and to the true teachers of His book, being the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.